This is the Neds NRL Punting Podcast with Jarrell Yao Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Jared Timms.
State of Origin is over for another year and it's full steam ahead towards the NRL Finals. Huge round 21 looms and we're back for episode 21, season 2 of the Neds NRL Punting Podcast. Running out of breath here, my name is Jared Timms. With me, 63 games for the Broncos, but apparently big MLS fan as well. Jarrell Yao
Yi. No, not a big MLS fan.
Sitting here watching the soccer.
A big goon, mate, and I've always been an Arsenal fan. We know that.
Yeah.
I think our listeners know that. They're over there at the moment touring, but this is not about them. Yeah. This is about me and you guys. So let's move on.
In terms of any sport, do you put any weighting on a preseason tour like this one, or is it just a bit of, you know, sort of pre-game 3 2010 Origin
look,
fun?
I think we could all, you know, contest here that if you watch your team like you did this year, watch your team go well in the preseason, it could go either one way or the other. Yeah. When they go shit, they go,
yeah, that feels like a long time ago, yeah, doesn't it? Yeah,
how have I walked into that one? Well, did not.
Well, unlucky for you, but you can say they go, if they go shit, they go, oh, it's just a trial. If they go good, great preparation for the year ahead.
Yeah, okay.
So training the house down.
that's how I'm looking at this this year with the Gooners.
All right, punters, you heard him just pipe up then.
Talking some smack.
Talking a bit of smack. Thank you for that.
Talking a bit of spice.
I was going to say, rugby league writers, pardon my singer, it's Oscar Panifex.
Yeah, shout out KFC, the Colonel.
Oh,
mad respect.
Yeah.
Might have to get some wicked wings on the way.
There is a lot of character going on here. Clothes by KFC. Yeah,
apparently. Didn't know they did them, but
I didn't know.
So jump on.
I'm glad that they do.
Well, you have to be a shareholder in the place to get them. So obviously, we know our mate over here.
You're on the board. The amount of zinger boxes I've bought over the years.
Yeah, true.
Should have some equity in that company.
Love me some spicy boxes.
And finally, Ned's betting man and advocate of Stanzo brand fedoras, Liam Fogarty.
They're nice.
Those Stanzos are nice.
How are we, boys?
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Is that Biggie Smalls? Can we give it back to him?
Close enough.
He's been brown bread for so many years. Yeah. You brought him back, son.
Had to dig it out for him. It's all good, baby. Let's go.
Deary me. All right, guys. It's been a week since Origin 3 has wrapped up. Feels like it's been ages since we've been sitting here talking.
It does.
Actually.
Good to see you again, Denim. Dan, and like it's really, really, really just happy to, you know, to be talking about that. Origins, it's over. I mean, it's as much as we want to keep talking about it, it does make for an interesting next year, doesn't it? That New South Wales showed up that and saved a whitewash. Pretty happy, actually. Like, obviously, it would have been nice to see that side, but we spoke about it. Were they up to the caliber of the side in 2010? Probably not. So, to end that debate, you know, obviously, New South Wales came out, you know, flying, played a really good game of footy and just makes it interesting for next year.
What do you think they did well, Oscar?
They chose the makeup of the team.
Yeah.
I thought Cameron Murray at 13 was excellent. I thought the spaces that he created for Cody Walker allowed Cody to do his thing. I thought Keon Kalamatungi and Liam Martin were both superb in big minute edge roles.
Yep.
Makes you wonder why Liam wasn't there the first two. Same with Cam. Same with Keon. So
I think they were just feeling each other out. Just like Freddie said, you know, he's rested a couple of players in the last game for next year.
They'll be good for game four, won't they?
God. Yeah, Steph was pretty tired after those 12 months.
Yeah. I'm sure he was.
He needed 8 months
and
off.
Look, I'm sure he's been doing a lot of running at his home club. That's for sure.
Do you reckon Queensland were actually that revved up for game three?
No, I don't think so. No. I mean, but look, with those guys in those camps, I think you have to lose one of these whitewashers to understand how hard it is to actually get one.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, you heard JT sort of spoke about it pretty openly. Billy Slater, you know, spoke about how hard it is to win three in a row. They spoke about in 2009 where they dropped the ball on one. You know, and they said, you know, I think we really understood that we needed to lose to understand how to win the third one next time.
Yeah.
So if they get another opportunity with this type of group, which is, you know, might not be a chance because there's obviously players getting older, players leaving and not getting picked inside. So if they do find themselves back in the situation, I'm sure they'll take it a little bit differently.
Everyone has had an opinion on this. We'll be the last people to talk about it, I'm sure, this year. Absolutely not. Is it enough for Brad Fittler to keep his job in 2024?
I'll let you guys answer that question. Yeah. What do yous want as a Blues fan?
I think it's time for a reshuffle.
Yeah, I'm probably with you, Jared, but I think that from the outside looking in, it might be enough for Freddie to keep his job. Oh, yeah,
wouldn't that make you sick as well?
Look, there's talk that they're going to bring is it Brian Smith they wanted to bring in as an advisor for selections? Look, I don't know. I think... You know, it's excellent that
an advisor in Origin.
I know. Yeah, it's a bit weird. Sure. I wouldn't be surprised if Freddie holds the gig for another year.
All right. Well, let's move on from that. We have another 6 or 7 weeks of the regular season, and at the end of it, Payne Huss is going to test the open market. It seemed like this was always going to be the case. Certainly, from the end of last year, there was a lot of chat about it. Thoughts, Gerald?
He's not going anywhere.
He's not.
I don't think he is.
No, not even to the Titans.
I think it's
the way up.
Obviously, I think it's a. I think this is management for him. Who I know in Payne and what he's like and how much he enjoys this group of players. I just don't think he would be as happy. You know, he's obviously got a lot of family here. You know, there's obviously been dramas with his family and I think he wants to stay close with his family. I really don't see Payne leaving. Hitting the open market, I don't think that's an issue at all.
Yeah.
I think most players are, I mean, everyone's entitled to do that. But I just don't think, I mean, if they win a grand final this year, maybe it becomes a bit of a different story that he might go somewhere else and try and, you know, find the money.
Yeah.
But if they don't, I think at the Broncos at the moment, if you're an outsider looking in, and we are, I think you've got to keep Payne and Paddy together. And I think they're the type of guys you build your team around. And I think Patrick's the next captain for the Broncos. And I think his, you know, partner in crime is Payne Huss. So I think they have a very good relationship. But I don't think it's going to be nice to see him go to the OMO because we've spoken about it a lot to see what he's doing. But I just don't think he's going anywhere.
As a famous fanboy, has this worried you at all? Or do you agree with what Jarrell's saying here?
It's frustrated me because I feel like it's almost every couple of months Payne's in the news about wanting out, wanting more money. And he's the best prop in the game. That's absolutely fair. And he deserves as much money as he commands, which is a lot. But I just want him locked down. I'm sick of him coming out and asking for more coin.
I'll say this though: have we actually heard him say that?
Yeah. No, but maybe it's just the narrative. I'm sick of the narrative.
No, 100%. So, but what I'm saying is, I'm putting my player's hat on. I'm just like, if he really wanted to say all that stuff, I think he would come out.
Yeah.
I actually don't think it's him. I've you know had a long time to mull over it. I actually just think it's his management doing their jobs.
Yeah.
But we probably need to hear from Payne, right? Like, we haven't heard from him. So I think he probably needs to start talking. Like, what does he want to do? And we need to hear from the man himself. So, yeah, I actually don't think it's him now because, like, we would have heard from him by now. I haven't heard from him at all.
Yeah.
I haven't heard him. He doesn't really do a lot of media.
True.
He doesn't talk a lot. So I think there's a little bit of, you know, something to think about there when we think it's him. I think it might be just those guys doing their jobs trying to get the most money.
Yeah.
New South Welshman, hey? Some blokes just don't get it. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And, like, will it get to a point where he's getting paid so much that it's not worth it anymore? Like, you can only...
What, to have the conversation or he's not worth it?
Well, yeah, like, you can only get so much production from a prop, surely. Mm. Like, is it going to get to a point where the Bronx then do start paying him too much and, you know, it's not... balanced, well, and then we can't build a team.
Probably comes
like
with age, regardless. With the front runner,
look at Taumalolo, for example. Like he took a lot of money for 10 years, and now he's on the bench. Like it's an interesting position that they're going to have to try and balance.
I also think that if you're getting paid the most money at your club, you got to be a game winner. And I don't think front rowers are game winners. I'm talking about game winners. People take penalty goals, people who are kicking the field goals, people who are, you know.
Yeah, scoring tries. Scoring length of the field tries.
Yeah, they're the big money earners because they're the guys winning the games for you. I'm not saying that Payne doesn't set people up to win games because I think that's his job.
Yeah.
His job is to put the halves, the centers, fullback wingers in the best positions to win the game and then they just take care of it. You're not going to see Payne go, give me the ball and let me kick the field goal in a grand final.
I hope not. Really hope not.
You know?
It'd be pretty cool though.
Yeah. It would be pretty cool. But
Capo did it early last year.
Yeah, true.
Yep. I'm not sure that they're warranted to have that much money as of yet. I'm not saying the game's not going that way, but just saying not right now.
Yeah, I think if there was any prop you were going to spend Emil on.
It's him.
It'd have to be him.
Yeah.
Or maybe Tino. And I think I would bet, I don't know what I'd bet. I bet a lot that one of Tino or Payne is going to end up at the Roosters.
One of Tino, at the Roosters.
Tino or Payne Haas, one of those two will end up at the Chooks.
See, I was thinking Bulldogs.
Yeah, I just... The Roosters have got a track record of picking up these marquee players.
Yeah.
They're going to need a front rower. You know, Jared Warrior-Hargraves has re-signed for one more season, but they're going to need someone to fill that void. And, I mean, who better than Hasua Fasua Malawi?
With Lenu coming over next year as well. Yeah.
Yep.
Does it, I suppose, I was going to say, does it therefore probably point more so to Payne, given Tino's brother gets a run on the Gold Coast pretty frequently?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
If Tino, I mean, if Payne leaves, I mean, that leaves a great hole for Tino to an opportunity at the Broncos because it opens a lot of money up.
Yeah.
But I don't think Tino's asking for the money that Payne is, like publicly anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not Payne, it's the management. But I don't think Tino's asking for that money. Obviously, he wants to get paid well, but there will be a big hole there that that will need to be filled if Payne Haas does leave and they'll need another big boy. And imagine having the front rower for Queensland and the back rower.
Big country Tino. Oh,
wow. Hey, I think he loves the Gold Coast lifestyle too, Tino.
I'll say this. All the Broncos players that love the Gold Coast lifestyle, they basically live there and they travel down.
Yeah. When Neds was the principal partner of the Titans a couple of years ago, we went down, we're filming a media thing for about 6 hours there one day. And no word of a lie, for 3.5 hours, Tino was just on a mountain bike with his shoes off riding around the fields while everyone else trained. Now he's the captain of the team.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
What a life.
Why would you want to leave that? That's the point that I'm making.
It's true, but you probably want to win some more grand finals.
Also
well.
True. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oscar, are Cronulla a myth?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I was really keen on the Sharkies last year. I got on them early to finish top four, which they did.
Bet, haven't they?
Yeah.
They just, their defense is still hamstringing them. They concede an average of 20 or 21 points a game, which goes a long way, I think, to explaining their poor record against top eight sides. Their attack is one of, or it might actually be statistically the best in the comp. If not in the top three. But yeah, they don't have the resilience and the grit when they're under pressure. I mean, we saw it, the Warriors just pulled them apart last weekend.
They did.
It's triggered some changes on that left edge. Obviously, Teague Wilton's out potentially for the season, I think, which is really unfortunate.
Moylan's
been dropped,
hasn't he? And Talakai back to the bench.
And Talakai moved to the bench, so, which I think those are good decisions that Fitzgibbon's made this week. I'm a big Braden Trindle fan, and Connor Tracy has not let anyone down any time he's played first grade. So I'm not surprised to see those changes. But, yeah, I mean, I wrote about road to the finals for each club this week in the blog, and I won't be surprised if Sharkies finish ninth.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Mm.
I mean, it's a good shout. I don't hate it because they feel like they've just declined and declined and declined.
Yep.
They haven't got better and better. And it's weird because that's not Craig Fitzgibbon. That's not his philosophy. He's a hard worker in himself, and I'm sure he'd be beating himself up about this because he's obviously left a great Roosters outfit, and the way that Trent Robinson coaches, he would have took a lot from that.
Yep.
So to be in the position.
He was a defensive coach.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and to be in the position he is at the moment, it'd be tough for him because he does just as much hard work as a player, as physically and mentally, you know, like what he does for that place. So it's going to be weird to see how they turn it around in the last 7 weeks.
Absolutely outstanding article you have written for the blog this week.
One of the
in
best.
Depth. You're going into the run home for all 17 clubs, who they're playing, who they're against, and where they're sitting currently on the ladder. Let's go a bit further into this. What do we need to know?
Yeah, well, head on to the Neds blog. If you haven't read the article already, I won't run through all 17 clubs, but just
we've got time, so no, keep going.
I want to talk about the NRLW later.
Yeah.
The teams inside the eight, we just mentioned the Sharks. I won't be surprised if they do manage to play finals footy, but it also won't surprise to see them just slip out. Obviously, the Cowboys are in ninth position at the moment and coming home with a wet sail. I picked out this game this weekend, Cowboys versus Eels. I picked this one out a few weeks ago as one that might decide which one of those two teams plays finals footy this year. So a massive game this weekend for
one
the Cows and the Eels.
And 1-9, is that correct?
That is correct,
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, so very interesting.
Watch it at homework
for those teams. Teams currently inside the eight. I think the Warriors and the Raiders are fourth and fifth at the moment. Or might it be the other way around?
Yeah, Raiders are fourth.
Raiders are being really
sweaty. What the hell? I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, I tip Ricky Stewart to be first coach.
Yeah, but in saying that,
What were you gonna say?
2 years in a row.
I know. Well, two coaches
and they've gone well.
These things happen in threes too. So next season, punters, listen Kevin? To my preview in week one.
You also said that one of Titans or Tigers would play a finals footy.
And Titans are on the edge, to be fair.
Yeah, true.
They are still in. Shut up, Oscar.
Yeah,
tell us about anyway, the Titans runner.
Let me keep going. I think the Warriors, I'm tipping them to finish top four, if any one of us had said that at the start of the year, we would have been laughed out of the room.
Incredible.
But they are playing with the third or fourth best defense.
We run them
the
down
comp.
To the lowest start of the year because, you know, in good faith, like over the years, they just have never started to hit their strap.
And they've always got a really attractive team on paper and they don't do it.
And well, the things that they've been missing in the past have been resilience and defense.
Yeah.
They are
Andrew Webster to chat.
Enter Andrew Webster. If he doesn't win Coach of the Year,
they're off their heads.
So yeah, Warriors, very friendly run home. I think I'm backing them to finish top four. They conceded the most points of any club last season.
Wow.
And they're now playing with the third or fourth best defense in the comp.
What a turnaround.
Massive
turnaround. You know what? I'm going to make a very bold prediction here. If they come up against Penrith in a final, I think they beat Penrith.
Really? Wow. Like in a grand final?
No, well, I'm just talking about knockout in the finals.
Yeah,
I think if anyone knows Penrith well enough, I think it's Webster.
Well, the last time they played Penrith was in Magic Round, and I was watching that game with six Kiwis, so I might have been watching it with the wrong perspective, but they copped it with a couple of really poor refereeing decisions, and they still kept it close. It might have blown out in the end, but
I'm going to call it now. If they come up against them in a knockout.
Well, it could be first week if it's first and fourth.
True.
Wow.
The Warriors to make the top four is $1.50.
Wow.
Crazy short.
Only 4 weeks what are the Raiders? Ago, that was my bold prediction. They'll play on prelim. It's like a sure thing almost now.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, so Raiders, $2.80 to make the top four. They're fourth at the moment. I do think they'll slip down, but another team playing with great resilience. They've got an average winning margin of like 4 points or something.
Yep.
They just keep putting them in positions to win the game late, and they have been doing the job. So well done, the Raiders. So out of those two, I think we can pretty much lock in the Broncos, Panthers and Storm for top four. So that fourth spot is going to be, for me, it's between the Rabbitohs and the Warriors.
Mm.
The Rabbitohs, it just depends on if they can get back to the form that they were showing earlier in the year. We haven't seen them play good footy for 7 or 8 weeks now. But round 21 is the first time they've named a full strength side this season.
Mm.
So yeah, if they can find their defensive form again, then I think they're a chance of sneaking into the four.
And you'd have to think on this side of Origin too, there is nothing else to focus on.
Mm.
Here we go.
$2.30 to make the top four.
Yeah, okay. All right. That might be the value then.
Mm.
And then outside the eight, obviously a few clubs not playing for probably out of reach for finals this year, but still some work that can be done. I think between now and the end of the season, clubs like the Dragons and the Bulldogs, they've got new coaches coming in. The Titans. And the Dragons. They've got to figure out what their squad's going to look like before the new coach and new players come in. For the Titans, I think Tanner Boyd is going to be under the microscope for the next 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm. I think he's been pretty good this year, but without being great. And I wrote in the article that he's got time on his side. He's only 23 or 24, but the Titans really don't have time on their side. So I think the next 7 weeks might be a bit of an audition for Tanner Boyd. And then at the Dragons, unfortunately, Bud Sullivan's just been ruled out for the season. So Talatau Amon gets another crack, to prove himself to Shane Flanagan.
Mm-hmm.
And guys like Zach Lomax, I think, have been playing on potential for a long time.
Yeah.
So Flanagan's going to be looking at guys like that and trying to figure it out, where he's going to play.
He goes all right as well.
Yeah, Hunter goes okay. And then Seagulls.
I have to think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't know. Is Hunty going to be there next year?
Yeah. Give us a bit more insight.
That story's gone quiet.
I don't think he is. I don't think he will be.
Mm. This podcast has been playing on the potential of their friendship for a whole time.
I honestly
hearing bloody nothing.
I honestly will say this. I don't think he'll be there from the energy I'm getting from him. He's not going to be there next year.
Yeah.
But that'll obviously take into place whether the Dragons let him go. Mm.
How good would it be for a Tanner Boyd to sit on the bench behind a Ben Hunt and a Kieran Foran?
I mean, you couldn't find room for him on the bench with Jaden Campbell.
Oh, true. Yeah, yeah.
Keep forgetting. Yeah, they've got some.
God, that's a pain
they?
In the ass, isn't it? It's a good pain in the ass.
It's
but
good
for
and
a
bad.
Club in their position, you probably don't want that headache, do you?
Yeah, the Brimson and Campbell situation, they're no closer to figuring out how to use that. So, yeah, that's one to watch out for the next 7 weeks.
All right. Well, what a great time of year it is for NRL nerds like you and Jason Oliver. Not only is there 8 games of NRL this week, there's 5 games of NRLW kicking off from this week for the next 10 weeks as well. How do you want to do this? Do you want to talk about the 5 games this week? Do you want to just talk about the competition in general?
I might run through the 10 teams super quickly, have a look at their current premiership odds, and just shout out a few players.
Like it.
So we'll run through these. Roosters, heavy favourites, $3 at time of writing. They deserve to be favourites. They're absolutely stacked. They've got the best forward pack in the comp. They've brought Millie Boyle.
Roosters being stacked.
Unheard of, right?
They have a sombrero in both legs.
Is that deja vu talking up the men's Roosters side?
Well, don't get on them, guys.
So we'll have to wait and see, but I don't think the women's Roosters side's going to suffer the same fate as the men's. They've brought Taron Aitken over from the Broncos, Queensland 5'8", Broncos, two-time premiership winning 5'8". She's a very, very clever playmaker. They've got Jocelyn Kelleher in the halfback position next to her. They've lost Racine McGregor, who's the Cooper Cronk of the NRLW. But I think with the forward pack they've got, Millie Boyle, Amber Hall, Olivia Kearney, Keely Joseph, and Keely Davis, very strong. And then the outside backs as well, Corwin Baxter, Isabel Kelly, who I think's the best centre in the game, Jess Surges. So, I think they deserve to be favourites.
Pretty incredible side.
I just can't believe you're saying all those names in that side.
I'm already on the Roosters to win, so that's my tip. $5 is the Broncos in second place. They've lost Aitken, as I said, but they bring in Gail Broughton, who played fullback for the Eels last year in what was her first year playing league. She was a Sevens union convert. Very clever player, but it's going to be interesting to see how she takes to the 5'8 position.
Yep.
They got Shanae Sazolka in the centres, who's really establishing herself as quite a gun outside back. And then they got a strong forward pack as well. Destiny Brill, Chelsea Lenarduzzi, Tasman Gray, Romy Teitzel. So I think they deserve to be second place.
Most representative footy players, those girls that you just spoke out. And Scott Prince as the coach.
Scotty Prince and obviously Ali Brigginshaw.
Ali Brigginshaw as well,
I'd be silly to rule out the Broncos. On the same price, $5, the Knights, equal second. They've lost a few. Millie Boyle, obviously. Caitlin Johnson is another one who's she was the New South Wales prop. She had a tearaway year last season, but she hasn't played through any of the trials, and she's undergoing a fitness test this week, apparently. If they don't have Caitlin, I think they're really going to struggle in the forward pack. Losing Millie Boyle and Caitlin were probably the two best yardage merchants in the game last year. They've still got a great side. Tamika Upton at fullback, Jessie Southwell, who's my favourite young playmaker, and they're bringing over Georgia Roach from the UK as well. Mm. So they'll be there or thereabouts. $6 for the Sharkies. The big talking point here is Emma Tonegado moving from fullback into the 5'8 position.
Yep. Right.
I think she
was Dragons last year.
She was Dragons last year, and New South Wales fullback as well. She was a really good fullback. I'm interested to see if she's got the ball playing skills for a half position.
Yep.
Taylor Preston at 7 has the best kicking game in the NRLW, so I think the Sharks are going to be pretty good. Tiana Penetani is their captain in the centres. She's a gun as well, so Sharkies are a good shout. $11, a big jump out for the Titans. I've also put a small stake on the
They're
Titans
the value,
to win.
Surely.
Yeah.
They are the value.
Big value. Really, really exciting squad. Ivania Polite, who's a Sevens convert. A little slow, kind of adjusting to the game last season, but she'll start at fullback this year. She's a terrifying. She's kind of like a Latrell Mitchell kind of fullback. Mm-hmm. Big body, powerful fend. They've got Niall Williams Guthrie, who's Sonny Bill Williams' sister. She's playing in the centres. Jamie Chapman, Fuma Ono, and then in the forward pack, they've got Lauren Browns moving back into dummy half. She played halfback last year. Didn't really work out, but she's one of the best nines in the game. Mm-hmm. And a strong pack as well. Riley Jorgensen was one that I watched in the under 19s women's State of Origin game last week.
Yeah.
She looks very, very good. Just tackled everything. I think she'll work her way into that side. So, I like the Titans this season. I think they just missed out of finals last year.
Yeah, they did,
Jumping out again, $15 for the Eels. Kennedy Cherrington, who reminds me a little bit of, she plays similar to another woman, Samaima Taufa at the Raiders. Both of them very Ruben Cotter, like lock forwards.
Not bad to have them in your side.
Yeah, they're just both animals. Elsie Albert, the PNG international at prop, and Rachel Pearson, who's like a very old school kind of traditional halfback with a good kicking game. I think the Eels will be okay, but yeah, probably a bit of a gap between
they
them.
They battled a bit last season too, didn't they?
They did,
the Eels,
Yeah.
Very young squad last year. Dean Witters is their coach, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I think they did okay. They blooded.
That's what
they it was.
That's what the boys call me.
Oh, really?
Did you know that? Yeah.
Bastards. I get it. On the way back from Canada, maybe.
Yeah. Rounding out the last four teams, $17 for the Dragons. They have only five players left from their squad from last season.
Yeah.
So Jamie Soward has overseen an absolute overhaul.
Yeah.
Racine McGregor is the big signing, the best halfback in the competition. Mm. She comes in there to lead that side, but they're a pretty young squad outside of the or unestablished squad. Yep. So, yeah. Wait and see for the Drags.
Bit of the last season Eels about them.
Yeah, maybe. Right? Yeah. Cowboys, $17 as well. A very, very fresh squad. Emma Manselman at hooker played off the bench for the Knights last season. She's a good young player. And they've got Tillett and Kira Dibb in the halves. They're both the Indigenous All-Stars halves.
Yeah.
Good players, but yeah, the rest of the squad, a lot of girls who I haven't seen play footy before, so it's hard for me to kind of get a read on them.
And yeah, I think it's just, this is very cool for our young girls that are going to, you know, grow up and play footy because this is the game now, which is very, very cool for us. And I can't wait, you know, to see, I've got a lot of nieces who are keen on playing sports and they want to play rugby league. So it's very cool to see the game moving forward like this.
Last two, $21 for the Raiders. I mentioned Samaima Taufa. She's one of my favourite players in the comp. She's an absolute animal. They've got Ash Quinlan, who the Eels debuted last year, so another young player that probably wasn't, you know, still finding her feet in the grade. Yeah. I really like Ash Quinlan. She's got a touch footy background. She's a clever playmaker. And then $21. Sorry, West's Tigers fans, but you are
the
longest odds.
I was having a look at their team list, though. Mm. Are they suffering from a bit of West Tigers syndrome
Just
in the
blow
betting,
the club
reckon?
Up.
Kezzy Apps is one of the most experienced women's rugby league players. But Teal Vett Welsh, at her best, is one of the best fullbacks. They're surely better than... I'd personally have them around the Titans there, you know? Maybe a little bit lesser than that. They're surely a better shout than the Dragons.
Yeah, I mean, again, like the Cowboys, there's a lot of girls on that side I haven't seen play before.
Yeah.
So maybe ask me again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They've got some great young talent, Losana Lutu, who played lock for the Blues under-19s last week.
Okay.
She will be the next big thing in the women's game. She's an absolute freak. She's named on the bench in round one, though, which surprises me. They've got Sarah Togatuki at prop. She's like she's the Spencer Lenu of the NRLW. She's an animal. And Kezzy Apps, as you mentioned. When I looked at the teams, I had Tigers lowest
Absolutely
on my list as well.
From my perspective, they've had a pretty good women's New South Wales team for a while, and a lot of these players have played together too. And I just wonder, in a competition with a lot of younger teams and a lot that haven't played together before, that might give them a little bit of an edge.
Yep, good shout. The Emily Curtin, they've got big raps on the half.
How do we get a program going for the men and the women? Because if you put some of these players and girls together and they make babies.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
where you were going with that.
I'm just saying, this would be, imagine your elite athletes. My gosh.
Yeah.
Anyway. There's some money in this.
That's what. Well, I'm just saying, like, it's
started the first Nets NRL stud.
I'm just saying, though, geez, there would be some athletes come out of those.
What
those families. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Happy with that?
Happy with that. Very excited for the NRLW to start this week. So
okay, I'm a bit worried about the segue I'm giving you from that into story time, which you're up.
So, well, I've been watching a lot of, you know, a bit of sports.
We found a really good property out in Western Sydney, though.
I've been watching a bit of sports, and obviously Wimbledon been obviously done. Spanish young kid who's just... That's a 20 years old, second Grand Slam, right? Am I correct in saying that? Yeah. So I thought, when I was watching, seen so many, you know, celebrities sitting in the crowd, and I was like, man, that must be cool.
Yeah.
Took me back to my time when I played for Australia in England. We went on a tour of the Four Nations, and we stayed in Kensington. Now, I'm not sure if you guys know if Kensington's one of the fanciest places you could ever stay.
Okay.
When you're there, and they put us rang back, you know, bang right in the middle of it. Every night I was going to get blind at every pub there was. Me and my little long neck mate, who were emus on the tour, Daily Cherry Evans, Josh Morris came along for the ride as well because he was an emu at the time as well. But I ran into a few celebrities.
Did you?
While I was over there. And these stories, like I haven't really told these publicly, but a couple of people I ran into while I was over there in Kensington, one of them was, obviously I'm a big soccer fan, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Not so much a big fan of, you know, this side that this guy played for, but so hungover, not even hungover, might have been still blind, getting in the elevator.
Or the other person?
No, just me.
Yeah.
But I had sunnies on, got in the elevator, go down for breakfast, very early, standing in this elevator with this big, tall, dark man. And I was like, I just didn't want to make eye contact with him. I was like, who the hell is this? Anyway, go down the elevator. He gets out. There's a Lamborghini pulled up at the front.
Yeah.
He's got all these chains on him. And I sort of look closer. Mario Balotelli.
Wow.
Just sharing an elevator with Mario Balotelli. Obviously, he was seeing some of his friends, I would say.
Yeah.
in the hotel. He was at City at the time.
What year was that?
Why Always Me. Remember, he had his shirt on because he was obviously getting in trouble a lot. Doing
that must have been
shit.
First season, Mario.
It was. It was because he only lasted, I think, one or two or three.
I think he was there 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Mancini just couldn't put up with him.
He couldn't handle him. So anyway, on that same day, I'd gone for a walk with my little long neck mate, David Trevor. And trying to find probably another beer somewhere, run to this very handsome man and a lady, wouldn't believe it. It was Joey from Friends.
Matt LeBlanc. Goat.
Ran into Matt LeBlanc and, you know, continued to tell him that I was from Australia.
Yeah.
I think you could tell by my accent. I'm just surprised he didn't tell me to off, but just a couple of sightings for me in Kensington in England.
Yeah, right, okay. What would he have been doing there? Was that by the stage? Because he's on
not sure, actually.
He's on Top Gear, but that surely wasn't by that.
That was 2011, maybe he just would have been having a break.
Kensington man.
Maybe he's just having a break, you know?
Yeah.
Just breaking off some bread while he was in England.
I can get away from it here. Meanwhile, Gerald Yao Yee and Daily Cherry Evans.
I'm from Australia.
Yeah.
some yobbos chasing him down the street.
Hey, nothing Yorkshire pudding in a pint couldn't fix it.
It's time for Fogg's Fast Five.
Fogg's Fast Five, go.
Boys, this may be the most prep I've ever done for a Fast Five.
That probably means it's going to be the worst, honest.
Could
homework typically has been horrific.
You do your best work when you come off a bender. You've had no sleep. Yeah. And here you are getting 8 hours a night. Yeah.
Sensible.
Who are you fraud?
Well, that's actually the prep I've done. So during State of Origin, I set a timer to go off at certain intervals. And when that time went off, I'd get up my phone and I'd write some notes about what was happening in the game at that point and my thoughts on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't looked at it since. And we had a very big day at the races at Doomben the Wednesday before the game started. So I thought thought I'd pull out my phone and read them.
Oh, this is good.
And have a bit of a live reaction to what I've written. This could be anything.
So you haven't read them all, or is like you've scanned over it?
No, I haven't looked at them since Origin, which is what, 10 days ago.
How many did you take? Five notes.
Notes. Yep. Six.
Fogg's Fast Five.
Yeah, I was just checking.
It's actually six.
On road. You had to ask.
Jesus.
So I started with pregame. Pregame, I wrote, did okay at the races, nothing worth bragging about. I think
I got six from eight.
You got six. I think I got
the invite.
Three or four. I think nothing worth bragging about. I've already broken my rule.
Nice.
15 minutes in, key on, tip on, critter can't kick. I think.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. That was just fair. with that New South Wales
because
cry.
He was kicking terrible.
Why was he kicking?
I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, ridiculous. 30 minutes in, Brimo, what the fuck you doing, big boy? ? We're going to have to go back and watch the game now. I can't remember what he'd done, but clearly I wasn't happy about it.
Yeah,
I think he passed. I think when he was on the inside and he tried to pass that ball to the ground, he passed it to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
45 minutes in. Bro, we do be fighting for our life, though. I must have been like...
He's gone across the road for a kebab at this point.
We were on the grind. Like, there w- it was just a lot of forward hit-ups, a lot of big battle in the middle. 60 minutes in, Big Red run onto one. I think
that's
he was.
What a, we can all get
he
around.
Played a bit flat-footed. I think the poor bugger. I think he could have.
Well, he was brown bread. I don't think he's much left in him.
A bit more depth, I reckon.
He got jammed up.
Yeah.
And then 75 minutes in, streaker on the field, comma me. I think I was pretty upset at that point.
That's similar to the notes I take when I watch footy.
Yes. Yeah,
I wouldn't even want to know my notes I take, honestly.
Yeah.
But that was pretty tame, all things considered.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm surprised you could write.
Yeah. There you go, boys.
With all the stats, trends, and betting you need to know, this is The Offload.
Don't argue. Yep, so diving into round 20, top players of the round. We'll start with State of Origin and their New South Wales players, unfortunately. Bradman Best, 2 tries on debut. We hung a lot of shit on him, but he scored, 2 tries on debut. As I mentioned, $23 for that. You got a couple punters found him, nothing worth talking about. Cody Walker, man of the match, $9.
Wow. He was outstanding.
Incredible performance. And one bloke on this podcast last week said word for word, we love reading out word for word here, was if I was a New South Wales boy, I'd be backing Cody Walker for man of the match.
Someone did say that.
Who would that have been? I don't know. Didn't back him because I'm not a New South Wales boy. The bloke I wanted to talk about in round 20, player of the round in my eyes, was Xavier Coates. He scored his second hat trick against the Roosters this year alone, and that was paying $23 as well.
He had a really good series. I actually thought when he played, Coatsy.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I actually thought, running wise, attacking wise, he carried the ball so much better.
Yep.
Defensively, obviously, still needs the things to pick up, but he obviously took that away and he's been attacking well.
I think I called him a kook to you boys during that game 3. I think that's one of the messages I remember sending. I was like, bro, he's playing like kook.
What is that?
That's not good.
No.
He's not good.
Who are our punters' pals, Liam?
So Dom Young has been incredible try scorer this year going to the Roosters next year. Dom Young has scored at least one try in each of Newcastle's last 6 matches as a favourite at McDonald Jones Stadium. One of my favourite players to watch this year, Dallin Watene-Zalesniak. He has scored at least one try in 7 of New Zealand's last 8 matches.
Jeez. He scored like 11 tries in his last 8 games.
He's blown his... I think he's way above what his highest try score.
He's on 15 at the moment.
I think it might have been 9 or 10.
Yeah, they wouldn't have scored many at the Dogs when he was playing. And then one bloke who's really, really exploded this year was Isaac Togo. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, or Tungo.
Apologies, Isaac. He's scored 2 tries.
Friend of the show.
He is. Critter got him on.
Hey, bro, come listen to this.
Isaac has scored 2 tries in each of his last 4 interstate appearances. Wow. So loves coming up to Queensland. I'm assuming he might have done that in Melbourne as well. Yes.
Yeah, right. Very
He's
good.
On fire at the moment.
Have you got any tips for round 21?
I do. We're going to start with
You will be saying that.
I've only got 2 tips. New Zealand Warriors versus Canberra Raiders. Canberra has won each of his last 6 matches after a bye. Interesting stat to consider, but I'm leaning with the Warriors. The tips don't really go that way, but I found a bit of a happy medium. The away team has covered the line in 11 of the last 12 matches between the Waz and Canberra, and 4 of New Zealand's last 5 matches have gone over the total match points line.
Okay.
So Canberra plus 7.5 and over 43.5 points is $4. Canberra 1-12 is hit in something ridiculous. It's a lot.
9 of the last 10 wins have been by a margin of 10 or less.
Yeah.
Incredible. Okay.
So I'm back in the Warriors, but I think Canberra plus 7.5 and overs, as I said, $4 is probably the way to go if you're following these tips.
Yeah, right. Very good.
Knights, Melbourne Storm. So Melbourne has won both halves in each of its last 5 games at McDonald Jones Stadium, and each of the last 4 matches between Newey and Melbourne have gone over the total match points line. So I'm taking Melbourne at halftime, full-time, and over 45.5 at $3.10.
Yeah, nice. That one's got green tick in the open group written all over it. What about if you're not first, you're last?
Pretty good week for first try scorers. There was a couple of prop forwards that went over, but we'll start in that Newcastle game on the Friday. Tyson Gamble's $31 first try scorer. We had Dean Madison on debut for Manly. He was $41.
So good.
Moses Leota, $41. And he did the big Batista machine gun celebration.
That was awesome.
That's been my favorite so far.
What about the Brad Parker's one? Did you see that?
That was pretty sweet.
Licked his thumb and his pinky and put his eyebrows in.
Very handsome man. And then Reggie Campbell-Gillard, $41 for first try scorer as well.
Yeah, okay, very good. He won't be doing that
for another 4 weeks.
The hospital passes the massive bets that didn't get up.
A few big ones. We found this with a couple of head scratchers here. So this is not a head scratcher. There was a few 10K bets on Queensland head-to-head. I was one of them. Just kidding.
We don't earn that much.
Yeah, no.
You're definitely kidding.
You don't know my unit.
An amount.
This could be the most bizarre one I've found all year. So the Bulldogs Broncos game, one punter had $22,000 on Jarrell Skelton anytime try scorer.
Jarrell,
yeah. Lord. I couldn't.
Must have been a family member or a friend.
I don't know. Was that his debut? No.
He played one game the week, one or two weeks ago.
So how are you backing him with confidence like that?
Yeah, I think exactly what Oscar just said.
Yeah, must have been family. Apologies. And then we had 30K on Para 13 Plus.
I just don't know Parramatta so much, honestly.
We might have to talk about that later.
Was that...
Blow the club up.
Yeah, well, not even kidding. Yeah. Incorrect groundings are the Maltese that fell one leg short.
This one, so a fair bit of money was won on the Newcastle West Tigers game. Mm-hmm. But this is the most, probably the biggest incorrect grounding that we've seen all year. So it was six legs, $5 into what could have been $72,000.
From $5.
Yeah. $5.
Oh, my God.
So it's hard to get my head around. So he's still got Greg Marzu, first try scorer.
Greg Marzu.
Yep.
Dom Young, anytime. Jareem Buller, anytime. Bradman Best, anytime. But then Isaiah Papali'i, anytime, was the leg that let him down.
It would have been $5 into 72K.
Oh, yeah, that is sickening. Disgusting. Disgusting. I'm flabbergasted.
I'm speechless.
Yeah, you really are speechless.
Wow.
What about the futures? Much movement?
Having a look at the market, I'd say there's officially four horses in the race. So the Panthers at $2.80, Bronx at $5.
Lucky because we're a horse, so it's good.
Yeehaw. The Storm, $6.50, and the Rabbitohs are $6.50. Well, I think they're the ones to back. And then there's a couple of double-digit outsiders. The Cows, $13. Warriors are $13. Eels and Sharks are $17. They're in the teens if you want to have a flash on them, but I don't... Wouldn't back them with any confidence, and then no one else is worth mentioning. They've all blown out to $100 plus.
I think six of them are worth a shout. Cows and Warriors are value, but leave me out of the Eels and the Sharks. They are horrific.
Agreed.
Finally, don't tell the miso.
Oh, we had a great week in open groups. Really good week. So it started very poor start with Origin. Obviously, I backed a lot of Queensland heavy things. None of them got up.
Yeah.
And this bloke in open groups sprayed me after Origin.
And that's been hanging on for the last few days too.
So a lot of the funniest ones got deleted. But then a couple of blokes actually went out to bat for me in the open groups. So a few of the punters said how good a bloke I actually am. It shows that they really don't know me. But thank you to the punters in open groups for having my back.
That'll be the people in customer service whose job it is to
probably. Let's be real. But I took it personally after old Johnny.
That's when I took it personal.
Put it, yeah. So
Michael Jordan.
I busted my ass to do the form and hit a few things this week. And so between Oscar and I, we landed 6 out of 7 on our result tips.
Oh, must have been all you, mate. I had a shocker weekend.
Oh, I wanted to include
you. Thank you,
mate. But
No.
He got
great
one.
Job, though.
I got one.
You got one result tip. Yeah. I got five.
Yeah, there you go. All you, mate.
We landed a few anytime try scorers as well. And then on the Friday game, so the first game after Origin, I took Knights 13 plus, Marzu and Dom Young anytime try scorer for $5.20. And that was just a beautiful middle finger to old mate that chirped me and said I couldn't land anything. Yeah. Really enjoyed that. And then the punters did really well as well this week. Four legs. Oh, actually, I didn't write it down. Shit.
Oh, no.
Shit, I forgot about a really good multi.
He's doing his homework again.
I was too busy talking about how good I was. I forgot, forgot to actually write down what the punters did. So apologies, punters.
Well, we're talking about open group fig jam here. This is the Greyhound group in the last 2 days here, guys. Win, win, win. Win, win, win. Oh, geez, same race, multis. Just the last 2 days. So, punters, if you're not seeing anything
in
the NRL groups Monday through Thursday, join me in the grey house.
Love some dishes.
All right. Thanks for half a job there, Liam.
Yeah, well.
The Neds NRL Punting Podcast Multi.
I've said it once today. I've said it pretty much all season. I really hate the Parramatta Eels. We were looking down the barrel of 2 consecutive multi wins. And it got to my final leg, and it was an alternate line as well. I wound them back in against the Titans at home, mind you.
Yep.
We needed 4.5 points, and they scraped home by a single point. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yeah, that is yuck.
Let's have another go.
I just don't know how you even went on the Parramatta game.
Well, just like...
No, but that's not who you are, though.
Well, it's not who I am, so and I've been absolutely punished for it.
I think what we're trying to say is you don't have to be a fraud here. We're all friends.
That was the 10th time this season we've missed by one leg. 10th. So we've hit double figures, boys. Congratulations.
50% of the time. It works all
every time.
All right, let's kick off again, Jarrell. You're first this week.
Yeah, I've dabbled in the Broncos South game, and an inclusion, late inclusion, obviously, because early in the week, Corey Oates has injured himself once again. Jeez, he's just had a bad run over the last couple of years. But Jesse Arthurs comes into the side and has been doing a great job when he's entered the Broncos side. So I've, for my second time this year, I've gone try scorer, and I've gone Jesse Arthurs.
Interesting selection. $2.25 for him this week.
Yep.
Liam, your second this week.
The one that stood out to me the most this week was the Melbourne Storm against the Newcastle Knights. Melbourne's covered the line in 5 of his last 6 night matches. The line's set at -8.5 for Melbourne, and I've just shaved that in a little bit. I've got the Storm -4.5. $1.60, I believe.
That's a really good multi. Yeah, honestly, really, really good multi leg. I'm third this week with a couple of anytime try scorers in the fold. I've gone a little bit shorter here as well. The Cows are absolutely airborne. They return home this week against the Parramatta Eels, and I think they're going to win. $1.45 head to head.
It's better not come back and bite you in the ass.
I will, like, honestly.
I can't believe you bet on the Eels game again.
Yeah, I can't believe you've gone there again. But
they're a terrible bloody club.
We have faith.
North Queensland are outstanding. So
it's the definition of insanity, I think, just doing the same things over and over.
Well, thanks for giving me a segue of the definition of insanity. Oscar, where are we looking for the final?
This is logical as it comes, boys. Yeah. The Warriors tore up the Sharks' left edge last week. It's been an area of weakness for the Sharks all season. They have swapped out a couple of players. But I still think that the Manly Seagulls will send all their traffic through Daly Cherry Evans on the right edge. Hamole Olakau'atu at $3.45.
And how many times has that worked against good defences as well?
Yeah, great point. Like, he's a go-to for them on kicks, short balls, grubbers. He can bloody score from 50 metres out. Mm. If it's part of the game plan, I think, yeah, great value.
Okay, I take back what I said. Go to the Eagles. Great value as well, $3.45. Jarrell, Jesse Arthurs anytime, $2.25. Liam has gone an alternate line for the Storm. Their favourites by 4.5 points, $1.60. I've taken the Cows to win against everyone's most hated club in the league. $1.45 for them. And Oscar Hamole Olakau'atu anytime try, $3.45. This is the one that we need, boys. $19.
Ooh.
Let's go. But this one gets up.
Jarrell, are you getting on?
What did I get on? No, I got on the Origin one and it just fell.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that was your fault. Shot. 13 plus.
My bad.
To be fair, I think we had one leg in that, so... Good. All right. Punters, it's available for your convenience under NRL round specials at neds.com.au or on the Neds app. And Liam is putting it straight into the Neds NRL open group.
For all the customer service people to get on.
All right, it's that time of week, guys. We've got to have a final thought and then name the podcast. So while you have a think about naming the podcast, Jarrell, let's start with you, Liam. What's your final thought?
Final thought, the fourth test gets underway tonight.
Should have known.
Very, very excited. The Aussies have dropped Todd Murphy and brought Cameron Green back in. So we've got 5 seam-up bowlers. I'm very excited. I think we don't need to win this, and there's a lot of rain forecast for the back end of, I know.
So draw?
Yeah.
I just can't.
Don't forget tonight is day one.
Yeah, I'm aware. But there's passing. I've actually gone and had a proper look at the weather. So there's passing showers forecast for days 1 to 3. Days 4 and 5, it's proper torrential rain.
Right, wow, okay. So, Manchester to a T, Old Trafford,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, so a draw was $4.30. I've got on that. You boys don't have to follow me this time. but it could be a lot of anti. Roadshow on TV.
Yeah, right. Okay.
For the next 5 days.
And Manchester, good for Seamers, isn't it? I don't think we've lost there since like 1983 or something like that, have we?
So I wrote the write up the other day. So since the 1800s, we've got 9 wins, 7 losses, and 15 draws.
Right. Okay.
And Steve Smith scored 290 runs there across 2 innings last time. Okay. So I've also backed him on his overs, he's to score 50 and to score 100 at a decent price.
All right. Don't hate that at all, Oscar. What's your final thought of the week? Is it rugby league related?
Yeah, it's rugby league related. I was going to say NRLW, but I've already talked about the NRLW. I just think this round, I think you said it at the top, Jared, one of the best rounds of footy we've had all year. We've got Spoon Bowl between the Dragons and the Tigers. Spoon Bowl's the best. Warriors and Raiders fighting for a top 4 spot. Rabbitohs and Broncos doing the same thing. Roosters and Titans, you could argue their seasons are already over, but they most certainly will be if they lose in that one. And you got to remember the history there, because Roosters knocked Titans out of that semi a couple of years ago as well. So a bit juicy. Knights versus Storm, how you going? And then Cowboys-Eels, I think, is going to be the game of the round. Whoever wins out of that game, I'm backing to play finals footy. Keen as for the footy this weekend.
Yeah, my final thought is getting behind the Matildas because obviously they start their run to World Cup history. Well, by the time this is out, they'll be playing their first game against the Republic of Ireland down in Sydney. Second game is here in Vegas, Suncorp Stadium, but it's not called Suncorp Stadium. They call it Brisbane Stadium.
Yeah,
they change.
They'll have sponsors. Yeah.
So very, very weird. But like,
you should call it Lang Park.
Yeah. They're paying $10.
They were talking about that for a
while. They're paying $10 to win it. So get on. If there's any chance. I think that we're a chance this year.
Yeah.
Massive chance. So it's good odds. And then obviously the EPL guys. 12th of August, it's back.
Is that it?
It's not far away.
Short off season.
Honestly, I have been counting the days down. There's no interruption, no international, no World Cup in the middle of this competition. So if you love your soccer, get ready because it's starting tomorrow and it's getting better and better.
Who's your tip? Arsenal?
Yeah, I think with the ins that we've had this year, we've just bought Declan Rice from West Ham, $105 million transfer fee. Jurrien Timber, AX, he's a very, very good young player as well. And I think we're still yet to add. I think we've still got a little bit of money left over. We spent $210 million, which is very unlike us, but the Cronkies have given the okay to spend a little bit of money, Mikel, this year. And man, I cannot wait for
There's no excuses for Arsenal this
year. There actually isn't any excuse. We didn't have any depth last year.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a very, very telling sign that we will go and win the Premier League next year.
Winding back to the Matildas, but your mum was a good soccer player,
so
wasn't
my
she?
Mum was actually a Matilda before they were called the Matilda.
Wow.
Yeah, my mum and my auntie, Leonie and Rhonda Yowie, sisters. My mum was a sweeper, or like a centre defensive mid.
Wow.
Back in the day, mum loved getting a bit dirty as well. So.
Nice.
They went overseas and played a fair bit of soccer. So sort of paved the way, really, for women's soccer back in the day. And then mum just gave it up. She's got brown bread knees now, so the old girl's hung the boots up. And she's also played rugby league for Australia as well.
She's
really
right.
Yeah, so
we've got the wrong yeah on the show.
Yeah, I believe me. Give her a couple of beers, you won't shut her up. Love you, mother.
Absolutely outstanding. What are we calling this? Pardon my zinger.
Oh, I don't hate it.
I've just been staring at Zinger for the last hour.
Jarrell mentioned Yorkshire puds and pints. That stuck with me.
Yeah.
If you haven't had a Yorkshire pudding and a pint, you can go and get f***ed.
Poor Rich is going to be working overtime
Yorkshire
on this pod.
Yeah, none of this is usable. Yeah. What about Yorkshire pudding and pint greater than Zinger?
If you can fit that all in the headline.
Go for it. Yeah. Okay, thanks for listening to this absolutely jumbled title of the podcast. Punters, enjoy the footy this weekend and all of the sport around the world, really. It's an absolute golden patch.
No.
We'll see you next week. If you're having a bet, always remember to gamble responsibly.
thanks for listening to the Neds NRL Punting Podcast. Remember to like, subscribe, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.